Welcome to church. Welcome. I just want to thank you guys all for coming. Whether it's your first time here or your 100th time here, I just want to welcome you in the name of Christ. My name is TJ, and I'm one of the pastors here. And like Kathleen mentioned, this is the last Sunday sermon for the wisdom series that we've been doing in Proverbs. Yeah. And there's ice cream after, of course. Everyone's very excited about that. I'm going to give you a summary of the whole series. If you weren't here every Sunday, I'm going to give you a quick summary. You'll get wise really quick, okay? So Pastor Jeanette kicked us off. You guys remember what her title was? Get it. Go get it. Get wisdom. Get it. It's free, available to everybody. You just have to go get it, right? And then Pastor Joanne spoke about fear. Fear, but don't fear. Makes no sense. So listen to the sermon. Listen to the sermon. Fear, but don't fear, right? Fear, but don't fear. And then Pastor Isaac gave a sermon about speaking life. This is something I definitely need to embrace more in my life. Speak life. That is wisdom as well. And then Heidi talked about last week being slow in anger, in our response to anger, to be slow. And this is also something I need to embrace. And the anger helps us realize that we are broken human beings, yeah? And we need Christ in our lives. And that is the wisdom series so far. Hope you guys feel a little bit more wise. Today, we're going to cap it off. We're going to talk about diligence and wisdom and laziness. Diligence versus laziness and how they're always fighting with one another. So before we start, let's pray and we'll get this started. Lord, I just thank you for every single member here at Echo Church. Every single person here in this congregation, God. Lord, we want to get it. We want more of your wisdom. We want more of your presence. I pray, Lord, as we study your word and hear what you have to say, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would have more of you. We would have a hunger for you just as much as we want ice cream, God. We want your word. We want your wisdom, God. And so, Lord, I pray you would speak to us today. Speak to this congregation. Give us more wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so if you guys don't know, I have an office job, if you guys don't know. I'm a pastor, but I'm also a civil engineer. And I'm actually a sustainability officer. So if you guys want to talk about renewable energy, greenhouse gas, I'll talk to you for hours afterwards, okay? But that's what I do for work, and I have a team that works for me. Some of them are really young, and they keep me updated with all the trends going on TikTok. I can't watch TikTok. It's just too crazy. But they show me what's going on. There's all these work trends. You guys know there's like work trends on TikTok? Like they're TikToking about work. And they tell me these things and I have to look at my notes because I can't even remember them. There's this term called quiet quitting. Have you guys heard of quiet quitting? I'm like, what's quiet quitting? Right? And so they say they just do barely enough not to get fired, but they've already, in their hearts, they've already quit. And they're just being quiet about it. They haven't told anyone they've quit, and they're just barely doing the bare minimum to get by. And I said, are you guys quiet quitting? Are you quiet quitting? What is this? And there's another term. This is more recent, right? Have you guys heard of bed rotting? So with work from home, you know, it's so hard to get out of bed. They're just working in their bed. They're not even like getting out of their bed. They're just like laptop, whatever, your phone in your bed. I'm not leaving my bed. This is like where I want to stay. And they call it bed rotting. You know, this is all just called laziness. That's what we call it. Gen X, that's what we call it. Just laziness. People have been doing this forever. It's nothing new, nothing new to Gen Z. It's like, it's just what people do, right? Even myself, I get to work from home one day a week, right? One day a week. It's like the best day of the week because I'm bed rotting, checking my emails in my bed in the morning. Because I have to start at work at 6:30, so I finally get to sleep in till like 6, which is like, oh my gosh, glory to God. I get to sleep in till 6 o'clock, right? And then working from home man, like the temptation of the kitchen, like instead of working, I'm always like constantly snacking because like it's all there and like you're just, it's just like constant distraction at home. I don't know how you guys full-time work from home do it. It is very challenging and tempting for me personally to work from home because another thing is, you know, instead of sleeping extra to get that extra sleep the night before, I know I'm going to work from home the next day. So, you know what we all do, right? We just stay up longer and just watch TV a little bit longer, and you just get the same amount of 5 hours that you normally get, even if you commuted. And so I just find myself like just bed rotting in my bed, watching something, playing video games. Oh my gosh, I'm so ashamed of the video games, the hours I've spent playing video games since the start of the pandemic. There's like, I play these puzzle games. I like playing puzzle games like Candy Crush or whatever. And you know those games, you think like there's no end to those games, right? Well, guess what, guys? I made it to the end, right? There's like 10,000 levels and I beat the whole game. I am very proud of myself, but also very ashamed at the same time. And I that's all because I'm working from home and I'm just succumbing to my laziness. Like the temptation to be lazy, it's so real, it's so strong, right? We all face this, right? You could resonate with this. But on the flip side, you know, one of the most common prayer requests I hear from the congregation is, can you pray that I get a job, right? Like there is this desire in all of us to work hard. Like we want to work hard. We want to do it. And it's, when you don't have anything to do, it's very stressful in your life. Like you don't know when it's going to happen. Like there's financial impact, your family impact. When we don't have something to do, it really takes a toll on us. And it's actually one of the most common prayer requests that we hear, that, you know, that I would be able to get a job, that I would have something to do. I don't want to be lazy, right? So something's telling us inside of us, something's compelling us. I want to work hard. I want to have purpose. I want to make, you know, a difference in this world. And then on the flip side, we're just succumbing to our tiredness. We don't have the grit to push through, and we just kind of succumb to our laziness. And there's this kind of constant battle in our hearts, right? So there's like good versus evil, light versus darkness, and just right there, top three, diligence versus laziness, right? And they're always kind of competing with one another. They're fighting with one another. And this is just human nature. It's human nature. At Proverbs, we're going to read Proverbs, and you're going to realize this is not just a 21st century issue. This is a human issue. It's part of our brokenness as human beings. It's been an issue since the beginning of time. And Proverbs covers it pretty diligently, no pun intended. So Proverbs is this buffet of wisdom, and it's trying to help us live this life very well. And it's trying to help us with our decision-making. Because you make your decisions, but your decisions make you. Okay, say that to your neighbor. You make your decisions, but your decisions make you. Okay, I'm going to keep saying that today, okay? You make your decisions, but your decisions make you. And so we're going to study some of these contrasting passages about diligence and laziness, and we want to see what Proverbs has to say about it. Because I believe diligence and laziness is a spiritual issue. It's not just a work ethic issue. It's a spiritual issue, and your diligence says something about your relationship with God. And so diligence and laziness are going to battle it out today. We have some attributes of diligence and laziness. They all start with the letter U, because I just like to do that. So we're going to take a look at three characteristics of diligence and laziness. The three are unfulfilled potential, unaware of reality, and an unrelenting spirit. So those are the three things we're going to study today. So we're going to do the first thing, unfulfilled potential. Unfulfilled potential. What do you guys think of when I say unfulfilled potential? The first thing that comes to my mind when I say unfulfilled potential are NBA players that don't live up to their potential. Because we just had the draft this week. I don't know if you guys watched the NBA draft. I do. I know this church doesn't. The NBA draft is like you get to pick players from college. The worst teams get to pick the players from college. And every single player, it's like, yeah, this guy, he's the next big thing. He's going to be better than, you know, LeBron James. Like, everyone has these expectations. And guess what? Most of them don't fulfill their potential. Like, they don't pan out, right? The greatest example of someone who unfortunately didn't fulfill their potential and people that were drafted after them fulfilled their potential really well is, like, you guys know who Michael Jordan is, right? You guys know Michael Jordan? Yeah, just checking, because this is Echo Church, right? You guys know Michael Jordan. He was the third pick in 84, and there was a number two pick. Like, nobody, you guys don't even know who he is, right? Someone thought they were going to be better than Michael Jordan, right? Guess what? He didn't fulfill his potential, right? And obviously, Jordan fulfilled his potential. But this player, you know, Sam Bowie, he had this great potential. People thought he was going to be so good, but he never fulfilled his potential. And it wasn't like one day he woke up like, I'm not going to fulfill my potential today. Like, I decided I'm not going to try anymore. That's not just how it happened. It happened like over like a progression of years. Like, this little thing didn't go right. That little thing didn't go right. Small injury here, a little big injury there. And it just ultimately, over time, he just didn't reach his potential, right? So how does this happen? So we're going to read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, right? Proverbs 6, 9 to 11. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Right? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, right? Twiddling your thumbs. The important phrase here is a little. It's being repeated three times here. A little this, a little that. One small decision here, another small decision there. It looks so harmless. It looks so harmless. But accumulated over time, before you know it, poverty has arrived. Lack is here to stay, and you're met with the destruction of your potential. And this is how sin works. Sin is not like really obvious in our face. Sometimes it is, but it's always like a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. One small decision here, another small decision there. Little by little bit, little by little bit, until the consequences are inescapable. There's a great biblical example of this. We're going to go to the book of 2 Samuel and the story of King David and Bathsheba. So this is 2 Samuel. King David, this is how the chapter opens. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. Sounds pretty harmless, right? Just an introductory paragraph to 2 Samuel 11. But who's the king here? David is the king, right? Kings go off to war in the spring. But what did David do? He sent somebody else with the king's men to go protect the boundary, to enlarge his territory. David decided to sit this one out when he's not supposed to. A very innocent decision, right? Innocent. He just decided to take a break. He needed a break this season. But what happened? David David was the chosen one. He was chosen. God took Saul out to put David in. David was the chosen one. He was supposed to be the king, the king. He was supposed to build the temple, restore Israel. David was the chosen one. But guess what? He never finished building the temple. He never got to fulfill his full potential because of this little decision here. And I'll tell you what happened. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. David was supposed to be out at war. Like I said, protecting the people, the boundaries, expanding his kingdom. He had something to do. This is what he was supposed to do. But instead, he used his authority, his kingly authority, to get out of his assignment. And then what happened? He got bored. He was supposed to be doing something, so he got bored because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. Instead of being at war, he was just hanging out in his kingdom, in his castle, hanging out on the rooftop. And instead of being in the battlefield, having his eyes focused on victory, he had his eyes focused somewhere else to satisfy his flesh. His eyes found Bathsheba. Bathsheba is a woman. She's bathing on her rooftop. That's where his eyes went, his lustful eyes. Now, Bathsheba was already a married woman, but David was the king. He orders Bathsheba to come to him. David is the king. He uses his authority unjustly. The king gets what he wants. He ultimately gets her pregnant, and to cover it up, what does he do? He kills Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, right? He kills Uriah, loses the child eventually, ruins his legacy. He's called out by Nathan the prophet. So much tragedy. People actually died. All started because of a little decision to sit this one out. We can keep doing a little bit of that and a little bit of this, but like David, we will become insensitive to what the Lord is calling you to do if we keep ignoring these little decisions. Because the truth is, there is no little decision. Every decision that you make, you make your decisions, and your decisions make you. And decisions have a cumulative effect that lead to something. So let me ask you, Echo Church, what is the Lord calling you to do? What little decision is the Lord asking you to make today? Okay? There's big decisions that we have to make. Obviously, like a big decision would be like, should I move to another country or another city? Should I be a missionary? Should I, you know, marry this person? Those are all really big decisions, and it's possible to say yes, but even those big decisions, you can't make those big decisions unless a lot of little decisions are made that lead up to those big decisions. So we have to start small. We have to start with small, little decisions. And I'm going to tell you what the small, little questions are that we should be asking ourselves, okay? What small decision is the Lord calling us to do? Should I go to church today? That is a small decision. And you guys all have answered yes. You guys are here. Thank you. You guys did a good job. Should I go to church today? That's a small decision. Should I talk to that person during mingle time? Or should I escape to the bathroom so I don't have to talk to anyone? Right? Those are small decisions that you can make. Should I do my devotional today? There's a small decision that we face every day. Should I do my devotional today? Should I spend time with the Lord? And here's a good one, because Ecclesia is this week. Should I go to Ecclesia this month? Ooh, right? You guys better go now. Should I go to Ecclesia this month? Does my community matter? Should I go to Ecclesia this month? these small decisions lead to bigger decisions. And how do we know this? During early on in COVID, we saw how these small decisions led to big, important ones because guess what? We didn't have church service in person, right? We didn't have ecclesia. We didn't have small group. We didn't have church service for in person. And then what happened? People miss one service. People miss two services. People miss three services. People don't have a reason to serve, come early. You know, set up the welcoming, the parking, everything that you guys do. People didn't have a reason to do that anymore. People didn't have a reason to build community. And then what happens? Oh, I'm getting real comfortable not going to church anymore. I'm getting real comfortable not serving. All because of small decisions. And I'm going to tell you, many people have left our church during the pandemic, but sadly, many of them have not found a new community. People have just lost their commitment to the church and community, and it all started with a lot of small little decisions. And we saw it happen in real life. Because little things like, should I just go to church? Should I invest in community? Should I engage with my brothers and sisters? We said no to those things, and you could lose your faith over these little things. And this is how the enemy works. You know, we can be ready and really resistant to the obvious big sins and the big temptations, but the enemy comes at us with little ones. A little decision here to skip this, skip that. It's very subtle and very nuanced. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and then all their small decisions make them poor in their potential for God has given them. So Echo Church, what small habits, what decisions is the Lord convicting you of today? The second one. A lazy person is unaware of reality, right? They're unaware or they're disconnected from reality. They don't realize the condition or the world that is being created around them. So we're going to go to Proverbs 26. And this is such a ridiculous, funny passage. We're going to read it a couple times. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. Okay, so let's break this down sentence by sentence. There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. This is like, I don't know, maybe you think there are lions in Israel, but this is just like a This is just a big lie. It's just like a big excuse. They use big excuses to get out of their assignments or their tasks. Like they're making it up. And then the next one, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. This is the original bed rotting, right? This is the original bed rotting. They can't get out of bed, so they're just like turning back and forth on their bed. Proverbs has the original trend, the bed rotting trend right here. And then this third sentence, they're so lazy that they scoop their food, but they are too lazy to bring it to their mouth. Like, I give up. I cannot even bring this scoop of, you know, nachos into my mouth because I'm so lazy. This is like extreme laziness. And a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. Like they're so unaware of reality. Like seven people can tell them the truth, but they don't see what's happening. Right? The lazy person chooses to totally detach from reality. So how do we become like this? How does a person with our physically, spiritually, emotionally, How do we become so lazy? How does anyone become like this, so lazy that they make they find so many reasons not to work hard, right? They're totally detached from reality. They justify themselves with this incorrect, unfruitful behavior by making excuses, right? And we do this all the time as well. Like, I was thinking about this. I'm like, what are all the excuses that I make in life, right? And, we all make excuses. Like, the biggest excuse is exercising. Like, exercising is so hard. And we just bought this, like, rower, right? I think we used it, like, 5 times, and I already stored it in the garage. It's like, it's so hard to motivate myself to exercise. I just don't want to do it, right? And spiritual exercise, this is so hard as well, right? I'm constantly battling the flesh, like, oh Lord, today I'm just going to do contemplative prayer with my eyes closed in my bed while I'm bed rotting, and I'm just going to enjoy your presence, right? These are excuses because it's so hard to motivate myself. And then we do things even at work or in our lives, we do things half-heartedly. And then we justify ourselves saying, oh, this is good enough. I don't need it. It's quiet quitting, right? I'm not going to work super hard on this. It's good enough. We don't finish what we started and said, nobody cares about this anyways. Why should I finish it? We procrastinate, right? It's not important, not a biggie. I'll get around to it, right? I have other important things to do right now, like sleeping. And then you become totally out of touch, unaware of what's really at stake, and we gorge ourselves with these excuses to feed our delusion. So we talked about King David and his bad, poor decision, poor small decision in 1 Samuel. And now I want to talk about a different king who was the king of excuses, actually. Totally detached from reality, didn't listen to the important voices around him, and eventually led to his destruction. So we're going to talk about King Saul. So 1 Kings 15, 1 through 3. Samuel said to Saul, I am the Lord. I am the one the Lord sent you to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message of the Lord. This is the Lord's message telling Saul, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belonged to them. Totally destroy all that belonged to them. That's the instruction. That's the job. That's the task Saul was supposed to do. Pretty clear what he had to do, right? Let's go down to 1 Kings 15, 15. So Saul finishes the battle, and this is what happened. Now Samuel says, hey, Saul, like, you didn't do what I said. So Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest, right? This is an excuse, a reason to justify his disobedience. It's an excuse. Samuel, the Lord told him to destroy everything, and Saul did not destroy everything. And he said, oh, look, I was actually trying to sacrifice these animals to the Lord. That's why I was saving them. But we were going to totally destroy the rest. Saul's excuse for not following orders, I had good intentions. I had good intentions, Samuel. I was going to do them. And this is a very popular excuse. I had good intentions. I didn't do it. I didn't do that. But I had good intentions in my own heart all by myself, right? But you guys know about intentions versus impact. You may have good intentions, but your action or inaction have an impact to the people around you, your friends, your family, your community. Your intentions have huge impact. And that's where the brokenness comes into play. Because your intentions don't excuse the impact that takes place in the lives of others. And we need to get this straight because this is one of the most common excuses that we use. I had good intentions. I was meaning to do it. I was getting around to it. But the impact is still there. The disobedience is still there. And our mounting excuses accelerate our path towards disconnectedness from reality. So how do we get out of this? How do we get out of this spiral of excuses? How do we get out of, separate ourselves from perceiving this world like this, right? What we have to do is we have to examine ourselves. And what I mean more than self-examination, we need to stand before God who examines us with the word of the Lord. Amen? Psalms 139 says it like this. This is King David, who, you know, we know he made a mistake. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, I believe how hard you work will depend on the state of your spirituality. Because your spirituality life, if it's healthy, it should be filled with reflection, reflection with the Word of God, meditation and prayer, accountability, community with the people of God, the church. And that all affects how aware of reality you are. Because Proverbs 27 says, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. And if you surround yourself with people, the church, community, that we are all pushing each other, challenging one another, loving one another, those excuses become exposed and stripped down. There's no more power in those excuses. It doesn't work anymore. And then when you have pastors and mentors and friends and family members that tell you the truth in love and are able, and you're able to take some of that, take that discipline, it will hurt. Of course it does. But it helps us face the reality that we don't want to see, and our excuses don't work anymore. If we want to be aware of our reality, if we want to work hard, if we want to be diligent, if we want to stop making excuses, we have to be open, we have to be vulnerable, be willing to change, willing to be transformed. And this is the process of sanctification, to be transformed in God's light. This is the process of becoming a disciple. Open up your hearts to Christ and see your diligence grow. And lastly, an unrelenting spirit. This brings us to the description of a diligent person, the unrelenting spirit. Now, if there's an animal that defines diligence, I can only think of one animal. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? What's the animal when you think of diligence? Ants, right? Right? I watched Ant-Man last night just to prepare myself for this sermon. And the ants defeated Conqueror King, right? Spoiler. But the Ant-Man, man, he's just, it's like low-key, very underrated Avenger, right? But I digress. But what can we learn from ants and their unrelenting spirit? Ants. Proverbs 6 says it like this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. The ant has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it works so dang hard. What makes the ant work so hard? Like, why is the ant working so hard all the time? They are driven by purpose. They have a greater calling, right? They live to serve the queen ant, and they live for their community's survival, and they all work together, they're all bought in, and they have this shared vision of what they are called to be and called to do, right? They have vision. Do you have trouble being diligent? A better question that you might want to ask yourself is, do you have vision for your life? Do you feel like you have a purpose in your life and what you're doing? And this is such an important question that you must be able to answer, because it really sharpens into focus the things that you're doing in your life, throughout your life. And one of the best examples of someone who played this long game well, of continuously trusting in the Lord's vision, is Joseph in Genesis, right? And here's what Joseph went through before we look at that passage. Joseph is betrayed by his 11 brothers out of jealousy, right? He could have easily given up. He became a slave to an Egyptian leader, convicted of a crime he didn't commit, landed in prison without a release date, forgotten by the people he helped, yet he never gave up. He continuously worked hard and was continuously diligent. Like, this man was unstoppable, unrelenting. Never lost sight of the vision that the Lord gave him, the promise of blessing over his life. And how was Joseph able to do this, embody this relentless spirit, always putting one foot over the other, always keeping going, always having that grit to keep going, always doing the best wherever he ended up with, always acquiring favor wherever he went? How did he do this? Genesis 39:2 says it like this. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. What's the key to having this unrelentless spirit? The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. Even when he didn't like his surroundings, even when he was faced with temptation, he was faced with sexual temptation with Potiphar's wife, when he was forgotten in prison by the baker, all the valid reasons to give in and quit. One thing made all the difference. The Lord was with them. It was God who preserved his life and protected him until he elevated Joseph to a place of prominence. And I will tell you, Echo Church, there will come a time in this life when even the most diligent of all of us will be beat down by life, right? We will come face to face with this question, like, what is this all for? Why am I trying so hard? Why am I doing all these things, getting up in the morning, working hard, dealing with stressful people at work, people's bad attitude, even dealing with misfortune, bad luck? Why am I working so hard against all these things? Why can't I give up? Why can't I just have a little slumber, a little rest, a little folding of the hands, and escape from reality? Why can't I just escape from this reality? Why should I live diligently and righteously? And we will all face those trials eventually in our life. Like Jesus says, it is guaranteed that the storms will come. And when you don't know why you should continue to press in, to push forward, when you don't know why, and you don't know the answer to this question, remember this: you have the power to win this battle. The answer is the Lord. We work diligently unto the Lord. Amen? So all these attributes, fulfilling your potential, being aware of reality, not making excuses, and being relentless, it all comes down ultimately for living for the Lord. He gives us the vision that we need to push through every single day. Your motivation will come if you know you are living out God's calling. I lead Work Advance. We haven't led it in a while, but I lead this advance that I call Work Advance. And the main thing that I repeat over and over again in Work Advance is, do you want to know your calling? Do you want to know your purpose? If you want to know your calling, you have to get to know the caller, right? You want to know your calling? Get to know the caller. Are you hearing the voice of the Lord in your life? Are you following through with what he's calling you to do? Are you living your life aligned with God's call for your life? Because if you are, it will never feel like hard work. If you're doing the Lord's work that he has called for you, it will never feel like hard work. But if you're working hard for your personal ambition, trying to make your name great or make as money or possible, or even if you're living for someone else, including your family, including your kids, you're working hard for your family and kids, even that, you will burn out. You have the potential to burn out, even if you live for something good like your family. You have to live for the Lord. The Lord comes before your family. If you're abiding in the vine, listening to the voice of the Creator, doing the work of the Lord, that hard work, it becomes enjoyable. You become driven. You naturally become diligent. So I'd like to share this story, if it can show the picture. So in my 20s, I used to take time off of work and visit Cambodia for 2 weeks every year. And so I'm taking paid time off to go travel to another country, and we would go to this school where I would do a short-term mission. And this school, there's a large leper community in Cambodia. Leprosy is a real, it still exists in other countries. So to prevent the spread of leprosy from parents to their kids, they actually separate the kids from the parents, and the kids live in this dormitory. Obviously, the parent, you know, it's sad, but that's what you need to do to prevent the spread of leprosy, right? So there's a bunch of kids living in this school, this dormitory, and we go there, we share the gospel with them, we teach English, we, you know, play soccer, we do all these things, but what else needs to be done is like construction. Like, we need to build things. We need to build buildings for them, right? So that they can be housed. And so I would actually take a big team down there. And this is us. And there's like 50 of us in Cambodia. And all we're doing is we're passing rocks. We're just passing rocks. Next person. One rock to the next. Why? We got to make concrete. And if you guys know how to make concrete, you need rocks and concrete. The rocks are like in the mountains somewhere, and we're getting the rocks, moving into the construction site, and all day long, we're just moving rocks. It sounds like the most boring, most dullest thing you could do. I took vacation to pass rocks, right? Like, how do I explain this to my coworkers? Yeah, like, I went to go pass rocks during my time off when I come back. But let me tell you something. Every single one of those people there on that line passing those rocks, they were having the time of their lives. They were fully enjoying doing this. Even, and it's superhuman there, like you're just sweating constantly. You're sweating, you're just passing rocks, your hands are hurting. But everyone is having such a great time. And everyone's just enjoying each other. It's like ants. They're like ants, right? And they're singing, they're laughing. Why? This sounds like hard work. This sounds like something I would be lazy about, something I would hate, right? Why are they having such a good time? Because they're doing this for the Lord, and they understand why they're doing it. They understand the Lord gave them the vision. We've seen the kids that are going to use this facility, and we understand what it means to them. We understand that the Lord has called us to come to this country to do this. And so they're having a blast passing rocks in a third world country, right? So Colossians 3:17 says it like this. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Laziness is a symptom of just a lack of vision. And diligence is the fruit of vision and hope, and it comes from God. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about occupation. Diligence shows itself in every aspect of our lives, right? How present are you with your kids after a long day of work? It's difficult. How motivated are you to clean your home and provide a safe and nurturing place for your community? How engaged are you in your conversations with your friends and family? Diligence shows how awakened and engaged you are in your life, and it is a reflection of how connected you are with God's purpose and calling for your life. And diligence brings joy, diligence brings life, it brings conviction and excitement in our lives, just as God intended us to live. Choose diligence. Make wise decisions. And with those little decisions, invite the Holy Spirit to examine your heart and be close to the Lord and hear his voice. Diligence is freedom, the way God intended us to live. There will be two ways today to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we can be empowered to live the life God intended us to live. And first, we plan to make this a common practice, but our intercessors will be available. The intercessors will be available on the side to pray for you. We know some prayers can't wait until Abide Sunday, so we're making them available every Sunday. So if you need vision for your life, if you need direction, help with little decisions, but you don't have the strength, ask the Lord and invite the intercessors to pray for you so that you can be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Second, today we will partake in the Eucharist. And the Eucharist helps us to remember, to remind ourselves that Christ is the key. Christ is the reason we gather. So I want to invite the communion team to come up. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you. May he cause you to prosper richly this week in every good and spiritual gift there is in Christ Jesus. May he watch over, guard, and protect you and all whom you love. May his countenance be upon you, his face be turned toward you, such that you would see in Jesus how very much he loves you, accepts you right where you are, and invites you to follow him. May he be gracious unto you. May you sense his favor, mercy, and goodness as you walk with him this week. May the Lord grant you peace. May you be at rest and centered in Jesus, who is our Lord, and through whom we ask all these things. And may Christ be victorious in you. Amen. Amen, everyone. Thank you, guys.